I feel a sudden urge to make a podcast, and we're going to do it. The Mets win a game that they probably shouldn't have even won. They were losing the game by a score 1-0 because Pete Alonso couldn't make a defensive play. The next thing you know, they take the lead. James McCann hits the crap out of the baseball for once. I know that's a shocking sentence I never thought I'd say. And I think the Mets had the game in control. They did. You take a look at... Hold on, I'm trying to think here. No, Lindor got a base hit to give the Mets the lead. Then he gets a sack fly. He's off to a good start. And if there's anybody that needed a good start, it was Francisco Lindor. Last year was so bad for him. He had, of course, had the thumbs down thing, which was terrible. But if there was somebody that needed to get off to a good start, it was Francisco Lindor. David Peterson pitched well tonight. I'll give him credit where credit's due. I think he worked into the fifth inning. And all in all, it was a good night until the Met bullpen in Trevor May and Edwin Diaz basically tried to hand a 4-run lead away. Now, I went to bed at 11:15. And the Mets were winning the game 4-1. So in my head, I'm thinking, you know what, it's 5-2. And the Mets should have had the game in the bag. At least, as a Met fan, I'm thinking, you know, they had the game in the bag. But there's always that thought in my head that says it's a West Coast game. The Mets don't play well on the West Coast. Whether it's Arizona, whether it's San Francisco, you get the drill by now. The Mets just don't play well on the West Coast. The Dodgers, LA. So a part of me thinks this lead's not safe, but another part of me thinks this team is a different team. And Trevor May gives up a 2-run shot. I don't know where the other run came from, but it was 5-4 at that point. They give up a run in the 7th to make it 5-2. Trevor May, of course, in the 8th, gives up a 2-run shot. And then Edwin Diaz, in a typical Edwin Diaz blown save, just throws a fastball right down the middle of the plate with 2 strikes, and the ball sailed out of the ballpark. And the game is tied at that point. And I'm thinking to myself, rewatching it this morning, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Now, has Edwin Diaz been dominant this season in most of his save situations? Eh. I mean, it was really about time. And it was really about time he blew the save. And, I mean, he's just not a good closer. If the Mets are going to go somewhere this year, Edwin Diaz is going to have to be dominant. Edwin Diaz is going to have to be a pitcher, the person that we have never seen before from him in a Met uniform. He's going to have to go back to the Seattle Mariners way of pitching. And he has shown glimpses of that this year with the slider. The slider has had great bite to it. But he's also shown glimpses of the old Edwin Diaz, which is complete crap. And while this is the first blown save of the year for him, he's gotten very lucky. In Philadelphia, which I was at, that was a great game, by the way, pitched by Tylor McGill, the Philadelphia game I was at, he almost blew the game. In Philadelphia the next day, when it was an on-save situation, he gave up a home run to Bryce Harper. So it's pretty much all there for him, where he's gotten out of trouble, but he's gotten himself into trouble. And tonight, he just threw a cookie right down the middle of the plate. And yes, the Mets won the game, but it's very concerning. And Trevor May as well. It is very concerning. I know he had the tricep injury, but if he's not healthy, he shouldn't be out there. But ultimately, the Mets had a one-run lead. And Diaz couldn't hold it. But moving further, but one more thing. Could he stop doing the pop-up thing when it's a no-doubt home run shot? It's so annoying. It's so stupid. Don't do it. Yeah, Diaz, I know. It's out of the ballpark. There's no need to point it out to the left fielder where it's going, over the fence. Just something that really annoys the crap out of me. Top of the 10th, the stupid extra inning rule is back. And we'll get into it because I do want to touch on the Giants series real quick. And Max Scherzer's first home start. And then I'm going to get ready for my game today. Marte, it's a little chopper ground ball that the third baseman lets the ball play him, which is something that really annoys me. I see this all the time in college games, whether it's Division One or where I play Division Three. Why don't these guys let the ball play them? Especially with a fast runner like Starling Marte. He's originally called out. Why not challenge the play at that point? Because you know what? If you're the road team and you don't take the lead in this stupid extra inning rule, it's over. It's 100% over. And you know, the umpires look at it. They do what they got to do. And the call's overturned. And you're still thinking in my head as I'm watching the ninth inning, because the only inning I watched the first three innings, then I went to bed, then I woke up in the middle of the night, then I looked at the score and I saw it was 5-1. I saw James McCann actually hit the damn ball, and for me, that's a huge shock. How the hell did James McCann hit the damn ball today? Is anyone going to talk about that? That James frickin' McCann hit the ball? I know. It's shocking. Oh my goodness, James McCann, you can actually hit the damn ball. You're batting over 55, but give him credit, he hit the damn ball. Give him credit, and the Mets won the game. So, after the overturning of the call, ninth inning, Jeff McNeil nearly dropped the pop-up. But he falls right on his face and kept control of the ball. And the Mets somehow win a game that they honestly should have lost after blowing that lead, but they're playing the Diamondbacks. So, here are my overall thoughts. The Mets, on the one hand, took care of business. They did. You can't get mad at a team that takes care of business. And that's what they did. You have to beat the teams that you beat. If that makes any sense to you. Basically, you have to beat the teams you're better than to get into the playoffs. And the Mets have done that. I don't expect them to win every game. But against the Diamondbacks, you already kind of lost your game last weekend. At Citi Field on Saturday. And to me, this felt like a loss. And maybe this is a sign that the tides are turning in a sense. That you can let a lead slip, and thanks to that dumb extra inning rule, you win the game. This is a game the 2020 Mets would have let slipped away, the 2021 Mets would have let slipped away, and the 2019 Mets definitely would have let slipped away. They wouldn't have even gotten the extra innings with the 2019 Mets. It's something I don't want to see. There's still some concerning things going on with this ball club, whether it's Trevor May and Edwin Diaz. But we'll see. We have to see. And Trevor May, I still think he's hurting his pitching through something. Wouldn't surprise me if he's on the IL pretty soon. And Edwin Diaz is Edwin Diaz. He's either very reliable or he's complete shit. And tonight he was crap. And Seth Lugo, who has also been struggling, bailed him out. And Jeff McNeil was able to catch a pop-up. And James McCann was able to produce. And Francisco Lindor is continuing to be Francisco Lindor, making me eat my words from last year. James McCann, on the other hand, is not. Just because of one home run doesn't mean I'm going to eat my words about him. He still stinks, till further notice. I wanted JT Realmuto, so I got James McCann. But that's besides the point. All right, I do want to touch on the San Francisco series. The Mets did win 3 out of 4 from the San Francisco Giants. It's something that I didn't think the Mets were going to do because the Giants are a very, very good team. And you have to give credit where credit is due at some point and say, well, the Mets barely beat the Giants last year with one game. Yes, this is a different team, but it is a 4-game series. And if you take 2 and lose 2, the Mets are probably still in first place. And that's pretty much the best scenario. It is the best scenario. At least that's what I was thinking in my head at the time. The perfect scenario is you win 3 out of 4. And that's what the Mets did. You want to get into game one? Sure. Tylor McGill struggled, but the Mets walked off. Francisco Lindor again has really had a great week for Francisco Lindor purposes. He has really been that everyday machine that the Mets need right now. And he's being the Francisco Lindor that deserves to get paid $350 million over 10 years. That's what he is right now. He's being the Francisco Lindor that every freaking Met fan expected him to be. The tying hit in the 5th, the winning hit in the 10th, Pete Alonso with a great stretch. And by the way, I almost forgot. I don't know if Pete Alonso should be the everyday first baseman. I think he should be the DH. Because on the one hand, he makes the great diving stop last night in Arizona. But on the other hand, he makes a boneheaded decision which cost the Mets a run early on in the game. Which could have cost the Mets the game after the Met bullpen blew the game. So I don't know. I'm really 50-50 on Pete right now playing first. Dom Smith's not hitting the crap. He's not hitting crap right now. And Robbie Cano, can we just get rid of Robbie Cano? I mean, I've seen enough. He's not good. He's washed up. He's washed up. And I don't want to hear that I'm overreacting on Robbie from the audience. I mean, the guy's coming back from a PED suspension, and I've just seen enough. I understand he's not going to retire because he's owed $25 million over the next 2 years, and he's blown nearly $36 million thanks to these 2 suspensions. But Uncle Stevie, offer him a buyout. I mean, dude, but it's not a big deal because I think he's good in the clubhouse and the Mets have the richest owner in all of baseball, so I'm not complaining. But at the same time, I have seen enough of him behind the plate. I would rather give the reps to Dom Smith or J.D. Davis, the younger player. But that's besides the point. But Tylor McGill pitched well. Max Scherzer's home debut. I wish I could have done instant reaction, but I was coming home from a doubleheader where my team got absolutely smoked. So I didn't really feel like talking, and it was 25 degrees. It felt like outside. But Max Scherzer, I was listening to the game. I know some of my audience wanted me to do an instant reaction to it. But oh my goodness. I thought for a second he was going to pitch a no-hitter. I did. I'd be lying to you if I didn't think, if I didn't text some of my friends that are Mets fans that he was going to pitch a no-hitter. Because, oh my goodness, 11 strikeouts, 6 2/3, no-hit ball, 5 2/3, perfect game. Dominancy, as Howie Rhodes said. And I really thought that he was going to pitch a no-hitter. I did. And he didn't. And the Mets didn't really do anything. But yet Max Scherzer was on the mound. Edwin Diaz got out of trouble. What else is new? A little foreshadowing for Friday night. And game three of the series, Chris Bassett didn't have it. But he was able to battle his way through 6 innings. And eventually, the Mets bats just weren't hitting. And eventually, going back to how I was finishing up, the Mets just couldn't win that night. But you can't win them all. Buck Showalter wasn't in the dugout. Starling Marte did one of the stupidest things though I've ever seen. And this is my first real critique of Starling Marte. Your team is down by 4 runs. You get your little bloop hit. And why are you stealing the base? There's a runner at third. There's 2 outs, and I don't want to hear he's trying to get the extra run to make it a 2-run game. That's not the correct answer, because guess who's at the plate? Pete Alonso, who's the best power hitter, who's leading, as of that time, was leading the National League in RBIs. And what he should have done was he should have stayed at first. It should have been first and third. Pete Alonso at the plate, 2 outs. I get it if it's 1 out. I don't like it if it's 1 out, but I understand it a little better. Actually, I don't like it at all with Pete Alonso at the plate. Anybody with 2 guys at this lineup deserve that treatment of it. If it's first and third and 1 out or 2 outs, there are 2 guys that should just, you shouldn't try to run against and try to run yourself out of anything. Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso right now. That's it. You just stay put. After that, if you want to steal a base, go ahead. But with those 2 guys at the plate, you can't run yourself out of an inning. And that's what the Mets basically did. And I'm not saying his mistake cost the Mets the game. I've seen that on Twitter. I saw that on Twitter that night, excuse me. That his mistake cost the Mets the game. That's not true. That's not true at all. And I'm not saying that. But it definitely hurt the momentum. And Dom Smith is one at bat. It hit the crap out of the ball. Our good friend Wilmer Flores, our good old buddy, made the great play. And there's nothing you can do about it at that point. If I'm Dom Smith, nothing you can do about it. The hit will come. He's hitting the ball. He's hitting the crap out of the ball. So the hits will come. And I think he knows it. And now, Thursday's game, Cookie Carrasco pitched well. It's something that all Met fans needed to see out of him. Because believe it or not, he needed to prove something this year. He needed to prove something this year. To Met fans, to the whole MLB. He pitched like crap last year. There's no doubt about it. He pitched into the 8th inning today. His stuff is like moving. It's not moving like the old Cookie Carrasco stuff. He doesn't have the fastball movement like he used to. But he's learning how to pitch with his off-speed stuff. His curveball. His changeup. His slider. That changeup is becoming a filthy, down-and-away pitch right now. And if he's able to continue this up, and yes, it's a 3-start sample. Yes, the first inning numbers have been better, because last year, if you remember, he could not pitch out of the first inning. It was terrible. He had one of the worst first inning ERAs, I think, in baseball history. But he's been able to do well. 2 runs, 7 2/3. Dominant starting pitching, 91 pitches Thursday afternoon. And the Mets were able to win a game. And obviously, win a series, excuse me, that no one thought they were going to win. As of right now, I know it sounds like there's been like a lot of bitching in this podcast. I truly am happy. I truly am a happy camper right now if I'm a Mets fan. First place, they're able to hide the blemishes right now. But there are some blemishes, but overall, you're in first place, and yeah, being a Mets fan, you had the best record in baseball right now, and there's not much more I can ask for. And that's all I got. I got to get ready to leave for a baseball game. Got to keep winning my team, myself, to make our playoffs. But we'll see what happens. Got to keep winning. And that's all I got. This has been an edition of the Mets News Podcast. Stay safe. This has been a Mets Week in Review / Instant Reaction. And that's all I got. Let's go Mets. And hopefully Edwin Diaz and Trevor May can figure it out.